Failure is simple. This is Dr. Herbert Abiley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Failure is simple. It's so simple to quit. It's so simple to say, I give up. It's so simple to say, it won't work. There's no way that it can work. I'm facing these problems and there's no solution. There's no way that it'll work. How often has this thought approached each one of us? How often have each one of us been faced by this sort of an attitude, the giving up attitude, the sorry for me attitude, oh dear me, I'm not going to make it. Yeah. That happens all too often. And the only reason it happens is because we have not been building on our positive side. We have been building, indeed, on our negative side. And when we build on our negative side, kaplotch, down she goes. When we build on our positive side, whoopee, up she goes. And you say, it's that simple, huh? You should know what I'm facing. You should know the problems that are going through my world. You wouldn't say that's so simple. You wouldn't be so blasé about it and so uncaring for my troubles. No, I sure wouldn't, would I? I tell people, and I tell them this with all sincerity, I work with people who want to live. And I'm enjoying it very much. And I've got a lot of people I'm working with. And some people want to die. And they want me to work with them. They say, I'm going to die. I'm going to have these problems. Life's just not going on for me. I am going to die. And I say, good, good. The sooner the better. How soon do you want to check out? Oh, don't be silly. You don't talk like that about dying. Well, they certainly do. You talk like that about living, about dying, about everything. There's nothing sacred about any of these things. The only sacred thing is that we don't always know what's coming off because we haven't paid attention. Now, you and I, we can know what's coming off. We can begin today to pay attention. We can begin today to pay attention to our thoughts. Oprah Winfrey's been having quite a time with Eckhart Tolle and his Now program, and people are saying that she shouldn't really associate with that because that is contrary to what they believe. Now, most of us believe in tomorrow and yesterday and even today, but very few believe in now. Very few of us put our 100% attention 100% attention in the now. For if we were to do that, we would find that there is no problem. There are no circumstances that are too difficult to face. There is nothing that's too difficult to strain forth in. Nothing at all. I was watching Hogan's Heroes. Let me remind that we bought a couple of their discs and they're really charming. And as we watched Hogan's Heroes, it's about life in a prisoner of war camp in Germany. And it sort of makes a spoof of the German officials and the German government, and perhaps rightly so and perhaps not rightly so. But if you were to pay attention to what they're doing, they live in a very comfortable world. They have everything in a happy balance. Even when things are in strangely disarray, it's in a wonderful balance. You have to pay attention. And while you're watching this show, you think, oh, I could handle that. I could live under those circumstances. I could live with that difficulty going on. Well, everyone doesn't have a Hogan working with them. And Hogan and his heroes, Hogan was quite adept at working with his men and working with the commander of the base in which the prison camp was located. And it sort of was all very logical, never trying to hurt anybody, never trying to destroy anybody, just merely trying to put operations out of operation that were contrary to the war effort that Hogan knew. And so they did everything to blow up trains and to blow up ammunition dumps and to stop the German war effort in right in the middle of Germany, right from the prison camp. And it was thought to be very unique and very, very special. But think about it. As you watch that show, you see a very, very ordinary activity. You see them drinking coffee. You see them sleeping. You see them digging their trenches underground, all the tunnels that they have. You see all the links that they have going. You see the clothing shop where they make clothing so the people who are escaping can have clothing that make them look like the natives. They have everything there, which is totally irrational, unreasonable, and unrighteous, and yet it is in the now. They don't think when, how, or how could anything ever be. They just say, do it now. As Hogan would say, how soon can I have it? And they would say, when do you want it? Well, I want it right now. It's just be a minute. And they make no qualms about it. They make no discussion about it. They are just doing a wonderful job of being the particular game that they're playing. But they're doing it in the now. And as they do it in the now, you don't think how illogical it is. You don't think how unreasonable it is. You don't think how absolutely stupid it is. But you think how charming that someone would have that kind of an imagination in that kind of a circumstance. Well, for you and me, if we want to get along in this world, it's up to us to have an imagination that lets us get along. In the first place, we plan on having everything working out well. And in the second place, once it's working out well, we just sort of flow with it. We don't get in the way of our program. We don't get in the way of things. If any little thing comes along like it did to Hogan, he immediately said, how shall we handle that? Now, sometimes his men would say to him, we've come to the end of our rope. There's nothing more we can do. And then he would pull another little chestnut out of the fire, and he'd go in and talk to the commander, and through beautiful use of psychology, rather simple psychology, he would have the commander thinking his way. But he had to have the commander thinking, he was thinking his way by his own thought, not by what Hogan wanted him to think. Well, this is what our brains think. We have to get in there and get them to think the way we want them to think. Not the way appearances may be or the illusion may be, but the way we want them to think. Now, how are we going to get our brain to think the way we want it to think? How are we going to get those 10,000 stem cells in our brain every day to be working on our behalf? Well, in the first place, isn't that the most stupid thing you ever heard in your life? 10,000 stem cells born new in our brain every day? It's just irrational, illogical, unreasonable, and it is very true. It is very true. And you see, this is what makes it so interesting. The illogicalness of it would cause us to not pay attention to it, would cause us to divert our thought and mind and attitude from the very things that are the most important to us. But if we just let go and flow with it, magic takes place. Wonderful things take place. And this is really where we are all standing. We're all standing there at the point of saying, I'm sorry for myself, or wow, what a wonderful challenge. It boggles my brain, but my brain can handle it. I got the imagination, I got the wisdom, I've got the genius, I've got the all. And I'm just going to pull out all the stops, and I'm going to meet this circumstance with all the wisdom and all the majesty that I am. And as we do that, as I do that, all of the problems fade away. All the circumstances that seem unbelievably and unreasonably there would disappear, and I would go on with my life in a very beautiful way. Failure? Not for me. Failure, no matter how serious or how difficult or how outrageous it is, I just say all is in divine order right now. All is in divine order right now. And it is done right now. Have a lovely day. And know that I see you as the greatest success that ever could be. I love you. I love you. I love you. Our imagination is one of those things that seem to be out of control at times. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. Our imagination seems to be out of control at times. Actually, it's not out of control. It is, from the point of view that it might not be bringing us the things that we'd like to have, but the thing is, what do we want to have? What is it that is important for us? What do you want to put into your imagination? Now, some people wanted to be rich, and they didn't know that the very imagination of their mind was the author of the work that would make them rich. Like J. Rawlings writing the stories that she wrote, Harry Potter. She wrote them, and she was not very successful before that, and while she wrote them, and she was just a failure. And within a short time, she became the richest woman in the world. Now, how can that be? How can that be that from poverty to riches, those are fairy tale stories? Yes, they are. But if Miss Rawlings had not continued writing her stories, she might never have become wealthy, because the stories are what made her wealthy. They are what sold. And they're fiction. They're pure imagination. They're imagination beyond imagination. They're imagination of what everyone would like to imagine, all about the fantasy of these wonderful beings who have the ability to do strange and glorious wizard-type things. Kind of fun, kind of fun. But you say, well, everyone can't write books on Harry Potter, and everyone can't write these things or do these things. That's true. Everyone cannot do the things that everyone else can do. Yeah, actually, you can, but you don't do it. Now, what is it that you want to do? What is it that you'd like to have to express your genius and to express your magnificence and to also indicate that you can be a wealthy person? What would you like to do? You see, well, Miss Rawlings didn't think she was going to be a wealthy person writing Harry Potter. She just thought she was writing this story, and writing the story because she wanted to write it. True. And I think our great successful people are just that way. They do what comes naturally, and they do it lovingly, and all the time, while they're doing it, it's merely paving the way for their success. They don't know that it's paving the way for their success. They're just doing the things that make them happy, the things that turn them on, the things that uplift them. You have that ability within you to do something spectacular. I have that ability within me to do something spectacular. When I was 21, I thought I'd start this organization. And then as I considered it, I considered what would give me, a young man like that, the right to consider something so broad and so fantastic. What would give me the right to think something like that? Well, what would give me the right to think it is that I thought it. It's not a matter that I thought of becoming something famous or some grand organization. It's just that I wanted to create an organization of a healing university. And little by little, I continued to pursue it. Little by little, I built on it. Little by little, I wrote the books and wrote the chapters and wrote the concepts. Little by little, I strengthened my background to prepare me to handle a wonderful organization like that. Little by little, Now, did it have to be little by little? Could it have been the snap of my finger and be done? Oh my, yes. Most of the time it's done that way. But sometimes we think that our dream is bigger than we are. We think that we are, in fact, unworthy of our dream. What a silly thing to think we're unworthy of our dream, but we do. And when we think that we're unworthy of our dream, what happens to us? Well, then we stop thinking about it. We stop having it be the priority in our thought system. We stop giving it our 100% attention. And of course, when we don't give our dreams, our goals, our aspirations, our imagination 100% of our attention, then it's a slow time coming. Not that it won't come. Oh, it will, because it's its purpose to be. It already is. We merely are letting ourselves become aware of what it is that it already is. And as we become aware of what already is, then we find that, man, this is exciting. This is beautiful. This is great. This is what it's all about. Now, well, what dream do you have? What dream do I have? My dream is to take this philosophy, be yourself and have fun. Take this philosophy of you're number one. Take this philosophy of you're God. You're the divine creative cause of the universe. Take this philosophy and spread it all over the world. There are many who would inhibit me. Many who would say that is not true, that's contrary to biblical lore and everything else. And I just point out to them how it's one with biblical lore, one with philosophy, psychology, scientific schools of all thought. It is one. It is one because it is not contrary. It is recognition that within each man is the divine. And we want to express that in everything we do. Now, how do we express the divine in everything we do? Well, we just get out there and get going and let that whole thing work out in its perfect order. Kind of an interesting concept, isn't it? Interesting to think that before Miss Rawlings created Harry Potter, she was a poor lady on welfare, and the dole from the state was what kept her and her daughter going. And then she became the richest lady in the world. Two poles, very, very anti one another, but they're there. Bill Gates the same way. Bill Gates had nothing and he built on it. And he built on it and built on it and built on it. And he was generous. He included everybody. He didn't try to cover up his wealth and his goodness. He didn't try to cover up anywhere along the line. He was an open book. And because he was an open book, it just added on and added on and added on. And there are many others who are inventors, who are creative people, who tried many times and found many ways that didn't work. And then they found the way that did work. And when that day came that they found the way that did work for them, voila, what a beautiful success they had. What wonderful magic they had. We don't have to be like the painters who live in their garret. We don't have to be like these painters who live like paupers because they didn't know their own worth. The painters were good, that's true. But they expressed who and what they were. And while they were expressing who and what they were, they could have been quite wealthy too, but it was not the image they had for themselves. The genius of the painter was in the painting and ultimately brought him money or somebody else money. But it was always there. Now, there's no reason for you and I to wait for our wealth to come, for our blessing to be revealed in our life. The moment we say, now is the acceptable time, the moment we say, I accept, and it is done, then truly it is done. Then truly we have arrived at that wonderful place where imagination and reality join hands as we go to the bank. You ready to go with me? I am. Have a lovely walk, or drive, or however you choose to go. But gather your money and your blessings and your life and pour it upon the wonderful switch that you have in your life. The wonderful expression of once poor, now wealth. It's yours. It's mine. It's ours. Have fun. I love you. I love you. I love you.